In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yet once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Indeed, we who are Christian were once not a people. We come from every different nation and race and walk of life, divided from one another. And this division is very often the work of the devil and our own corrupt nature. The devil, who is a slanderer and a liar and accuser, has always used his slander, lies, and accusations to appeal to our sinful hearts in order to divide us, to turn us in on ourselves and against our neighbor, to divide us from one another and from our Creator. Most intimately and immediately, he sows enmity and division within the family, between husband and wife, between children and parents. His lying slander is made all the more powerful because his accusations are often not outright falsehoods. In any close and long-term relationship between two people, it is easy enough to find real fault, real sin, and real harm done. The demonic task of dividing us is made all the more easy by our sinful hearts, which are quick to recognize the sins in others, but slow to recognize it in our own selves. Or even when we do recognize our own faults, we often feel guilty for those things which we ought not feel guilty for, but do not repent of those things for which we are truly guilty. It is easy for the tempter to point a wife to her husband's fault and a husband to his wife's sin and a child to his parents' weaknesses, while at the same time concealing from their own conscience their own fault and their own guilt. It is easy to convince a wife that she is the victim of her husband's inattentiveness, a husband a victim of his wife's ingratitude, and a child a victim of his or her parents' tyranny. The accuser, in concert with our sinful hearts, also sows division among friends and neighbors. A forgotten birthday or a missing card becomes a sneaking suspicion that they really don't care at all. This minor wound to pride, or others like it, turn what should have been nothing into a festering wound, a sore, big or small. It creates a simmering, mild resentment in the heart, which sows the seeds of hate. A past wrong never forgiven, a grudge nursed, an innocuous gesture perceived as a slight. And oh, how little prompting does it take to convince our sickly heart, as weak in love as it is, that it has been wronged, that justice is demanded. If only we'd heed the counsel of James, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But no, all too often we turn to gossip. And again James warns, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, set on fire by hell. And yet it is so. By our gossip, we light fires. What should have remained a matter between me and my neighbor now spreads throughout the whole body of the congregation, throughout the town, sowing division and resentment, the seeds of hate in the hearts of everyone. Once it is lit, the fire is hard to tame. It spreads perhaps far beyond what you would have wished. Perhaps with your gossip, with your complaint, you only wish to light a small fire, to feel the warmth of your anger for a minute, that wonderful feeling of self-righteous victimhood. But in so doing, the tongue has become the accuser's own tongue. You have become a veritable devil yourself, hurling accusation and slander, dividing neighbor from neighbor. The accuser is at work in the state as well. I do not need to tell you that accusation, slander, and lies in many ways define our politics and culture. Men are pitted against women, both again convinced that they are victims of the other. The rich against the poor and the middle class against all others. A narrative of astroturfed racial conflict foisted upon us all, making the conflict real. And of course, worst of all, the accuser and our rebellious hearts separate us from God, our Creator, our Father, our source of life. Each one of us seeking to be his or her own God, choosing death on our own terms rather than life on God's. Indeed, without God, we are not a people, not united, not joined together by a common purpose or goal, no shared ethos or customs or morals. The bonds of love are broken. Any unity or communion can only be circumscribed, fleeting, and temporary. Each person a sad, solipsistic creature, divided from all around him and from God. Each person by their own sin, a lone island in the vast ocean. Each wrapped up in himself or herself, just the way the devil likes it. But it is not so for you. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Why? Because you have received mercy. Lost and alone in the darkness, the light came shining through. The Father, in his great love for you, sent his only Son to die for you. The rift, the divide between you and him has been crossed by Christ. The slander, the accusation of the devil has been silenced, and it has no power. Your sins have been atoned for by his blood. In Christ, you have received mercy. He has purchased you and won you for a people for himself. Through the waters of holy baptism, you have been baptized, engrafted into his body. Jaden, today, you have been baptized into Christ's body, made one of his people. He has made you all his people. He has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. The divide between you and God is no more. Christ has crossed it with his cross. And this fact has radical implications beyond the merely salvific. Indeed, before we were divided from each other and from God by sin. But now, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. You were not a people, but now in Christ you are a people. Before you were rich or poor, man or woman, black or white, American or something other, parent or child divided from one another. But now you are Christians. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation and a people of his own possession. By his mercy, you share one heavenly Father, one Holy Spirit who dwells in you all, and one flesh and blood. Because of Christ, in the sight of God, you are chosen and you are precious. And even now, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God has called you for a purpose, to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. On your lips should be the proclamation of God's mercy in Christ, which should flow out in your own lives in love and forgiveness towards your neighbor. Do not let your tongue flicker like the serpent's, but let your voice be the voice of a herald of the kingdom of God. Love covers a multitude of sins. God's love for you in Christ covered all of your sins. So let your love and your mercy for Christ's sake cover the sins of your neighbor. Let forgiveness and love heal the divide between us. Husbands and wives, love and forgive one another. Parents and children, love and forgive one another. All of you in the body of Christ, love and forgive one another for Christ's sake. You are one people, after all. You are God's people. And so let us act like it. Let us act like we truly believe that we have received mercy, that we have received infinite mercy for Christ's sake by showing mercy for our neighbors. Let us bridle our tongues and so that we do not gossip, and let us guard our hearts from the seeds of hatred for our neighbor. And when we do not, when we fail, when we do not love, when we do not forgive, let us once again fall back on Christ, receive his forgiveness, and go forth again in love and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen. May arise for the offertory.